You're listening to Connecting Faith, and it is once again time for our Get Into the Word Wednesday feature. You know, we care about God's Word, realize, know that the Scriptures are living and active, and they're able to bring about life transformation if we will simply read and study and reflect and then obey God's Word. And so we have been, over the past few weeks, taking time to review and introduce at least the New Testament in a series of brief outline sessions that we're calling Get Into the Word Wednesday. And honored to have with us, to help us guide our steps, Eric Larson. Eric is founder of Frameworks. Frameworks is a wonderful resource. It's How to Navigate the New Testament, Extraordinary Guide for Ordinary People. Eric has a publishing company called Frameworks Resources. He's a writer and Bible teacher and speaker, and for the last 3 decades has been teaching people all around the country how to understand and navigate their Bibles. And so, Eric, welcome back. Good to talk with you again.
Nice to be here, Neil. Thanks for having me.
All right. So today we're looking at another representative segment of the New Testament. The New Testament is broken down into various segments, and maybe I'll just ask you to summarize that again here at the beginning. But so today we want to talk about 1 Timothy. So I guess the question is, you know, who is Timothy and why was he first?
Well, Timothy was a young apprentice that was a Christian, a disciple of Christ, that Paul ran into and met when he was ministering in Galatia, and he became an apprentice under Paul. They traveled together extensively for over 15 years, and he became Paul's closest coworker, even though he was much younger than Paul. And Paul eventually sent him out as a representative to do different things for him where he couldn't go. He would send Timothy in his stead, and he became the closest person in Paul's life to the place where 2 Timothy, which is the last letter written by Paul, is written right before Paul's death, and he writes it to Timothy and asks Timothy to come as quickly as possible so he can see him one more time before he sees the Lord. So Timothy, a very important person in the New Testament.
This is in a section is written by Paul, but you kind of distinguish it from the conversation we had last time when we were talking about Galatians. So how is 1 Timothy different than, say, the letter to the Galatians?
Paul wrote 13 letters, and these 13 letters are actually two separate groups. 9 of them were written to churches, while 4 of them were written to individual people, and those individuals were Timothy, 2 letters to him, 1 letter to Titus, and 1 letter to Philemon. And a personal letter is different than a church letter in that it has personal issues, personal requests, personal instructions, and it's very much a focused letter, whereas the first group is about churches. It's about doctrine, it's about teaching, it's about correction, it's about whatever the church would need. So that's the main difference.
So when we look at 1 Timothy, you suggest maybe that this letter would be like a halftime pep talk. Say more about that.
Well, here's the story. We think Paul was released from prison in Rome sometime after the book of Acts ends, and he went out on another missionary journey, and as a part of that journey, Timothy was with him, and they went to Ephesus to help the church there that he had founded years before. And while he was in Ephesus, he was called away on some urgent business to Macedonia, and he says to Timothy, "Why don't you stay here and manage my affairs, overseeing the church, I'll be right back." And he leaves for Macedonia, and he leaves this young, shy, and quite introverted apprentice, Timothy, as a young pastor, in charge of a metropolitan church much like New York City. So you can kind of imagine that he's going to be a little bit overwhelmed in this responsibility. And so I kind of liken that to a coach at a basketball game. And I picked John Wooden, which is one of the best coaches that ever lived, of trying to give the pep talk to his young student athlete at halftime when things aren't going very well. And that's really what 1 Timothy is all about. It's a letter to Timothy written by Paul when he couldn't be there himself to encourage him and to give him instructions on how to manage this very large and complicated church.
Well, when you say that, you know, things weren't going so well, talk about the problems that this letter is written to address.
Well, the primary problem that was prevalent in that time were false teachers that would bring in wacky beliefs that they either got from other places in the world, either philosophies or pagan religious practices or mystical practices, and they were trying to bring that in and teach that in the church to the believers. And that was causing a lot of confusion, and some false teachers had done that in Ephesus. And so right off the bat, when you read 1 Timothy, that's the first issue that Paul is going to go after, is these false teachers that are causing confusion, and he encourages Timothy to stop them right away and shut their mouth.
And in fact, you talk a little about the contrast between false teaching and healthy teaching. Maybe just say a little bit more about that, and if there's maybe a key verse or a section we should look for when we're reading 1 Timothy.
Well, healthy teaching is one of the maybe six or seven things that Paul is going to be talking about. Healthy teaching is, of course, the ministry of what is true, the truth, you know, as Christians, the truth of our faith, what the gospel is all about, what we believe in terms of who Christ is and who God is and the Word of God, all of that. So you have these main things that are of our faith, the truth, and healthy teaching is just the teaching that brings those things in front of the believers and continues to support them in those beliefs. And that's the way that you confront a lot of the false beliefs is by providing the healthy teaching and the healthy food to the congregation. So you're going to find that throughout this letter, a lot of emphasis on healthy teaching. And as a matter of fact, Timothy, we believe, was a very gifted teacher. He was a great preacher. He was a student of the Word. You know, as from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. So Paul is encouraging him and bolstering his faith and saying, you can do this, and you know the Bible. Just focus on that. Develop your gifts in that, and you'll have no problem with these other people. So it was a strong encouragement from Paul to Timothy.
So help us navigate the letter a little bit. Maybe just explain the outline. When we read Timothy, what are we going to see?
Well, as I mentioned, you are going to see in the opening chapter, immediately Paul goes after these false teachers and tells Timothy to try to get them out of there and try to corral them. So that's chapter 1. Then from chapters 2 to 5, there's lots of instructions there on how to manage church affairs. You're going to read in chapter 3, for example, about the qualifications of overseers or elders. If you need to establish elders in the church, what kind of people do you look for? What do they need to be? How do they need to act? So there's a whole list of those. And you'll see a lot of practical instructions of how to handle widows in the church that come and have needs financially and otherwise. How do you manage that? How do you manage people that are kind of out there and talking too much and causing trouble? What do you do with those people? So it's a lot of practical instruction. As a matter of fact, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are called the pastoral letters because they're written by pastors, to pastors, about pastors. So it's about pastoring churches and overseeing churches. So that's chapters 2 through 5. And then chapter 6, which is the very end of this letter, is really a strong encouragement to hang on, fight the good fight of faith. You can do this, and I'll try to get there as soon as I can. So we call the theme of this letter, Hold On, I'm Coming.
You know, you list several things unique about 1 Timothy. Just maybe mention that, you know, widows, but there's a couple other things, too, that are unique to this letter. Just say more about that.
We have something called the Incarnation Hymn in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which lists a number of different things about Christ and his incarnation. Christ was revealed in a human body, vindicated by the Spirit, seen of the angels, announced among the nations. And we think this was a hymn. And this hymn was possibly sung in churches. And so as a part of the healthy teaching, Paul includes that in his letter to Timothy. And then he has this one verse about, I'm writing to you so that you should know how to behave yourself in the church of God, which is the house of the living God. And this word behave in Greek is a very unique word that talks about how dolphins swim. And the dolphins kind of dance and swim and move quickly through the water very gracefully. And Paul is saying to Timothy, you have to learn how to move in a way that is graceful but is purposeful. And it's kind of an interesting metaphor there. And he picks a word that's very interesting. So it's about how you can navigate the challenges of churches while still at the same time providing healthy teaching for people. So there's quite a lot of practical help in the letter.
Paul is concerned in this letter, right, about not being letting our faith get shipwrecked, and that's probably a good application for us still today.
Yeah, definitely. And he used that word, that your faith can become shipwrecked, which means it's on the rocks. And if we allow ourselves to entertain thoughts and philosophies and even the world's kind of philosophies too much, we can then find ourselves getting away from depending on Christ as the center of our life and try to live other ways. And yet you can get to a point where you can actually shipwreck your faith and go away from the Lord. Not that you will lose your salvation, but you will lose your contact with him, just like the prodigal son did. So, yeah, you can shipwreck your faith.
Well, I hope that as we've provided these little framework outline opportunities for us to get to understand the New Testament better, that you'll get into the Word and take some time. Maybe this weekend you'll read 1 Timothy. It'll take you about 13 minutes or so to read this short but very important, powerful letter to Timothy from Paul. And getting us some fresh insights today and helping us get into the Word is Eric Larson. Eric, a Bible teacher, a writer, speaker, and has the Frameworks Resources Publishing Company, founder of Frameworks. And you can find out more online at frameworksthebook.com, frameworksthebook.com. Eric, we so appreciate you offering us encouragement to get into the Word and help us understand it better.
That's been a pleasure, Neil. Thank you.